Welcome, everybody. This is Mark Browning, Bible teacher at Life in Christ Church or Life in Christ Ministries. We're coming to you this morning via Zoom. We did not have church on May the 15th. I participated in the Sierra Vista Open Golf Tournament. It's the one tournament I go and skip church for, and I finished right in the middle of the pack, 36 out of 66. Teresa says that's pretty much the story of my life, middle of the pack. But anyway, so we're having our Wednesday night Bible study here at our house, and we're doing a Zoom service, and we always want to thank James Taylor, our audio-visual man, for what he does to make sure we can get these messages out to everybody. So we're going to we've been doing a Bible series entitled, Have You Been Epistle-Lighted? And we want people to know the epistolite truth, and that is that everything you've ever thought, heard, read, seen, or believed about God has to be reevaluated in light of the truths that are found in the epistles. One of our people that's here at our Wednesday night Bible class is Mr. Chris Saylor, and because we're on Zoom, I'm not going to have him actually answer, but he is an expert now on what makes up the epistles. And that would be the books of Romans through Jude. I didn't know Chris knew sign language. He's signing that to me. That's awesome. Anyway, those are the epistles, the books of Romans through Jude. And what we're also doing is on my Facebook page, Mark Browning's Facebook page, we're going through the epistles, and we're all the way up to 2 Timothy. Tomorrow, I'll put a verse from 2 Timothy chapter 2, and we have a lot of people that play along with us on that, and my dear friend and co-worker, Mr. Bryant Booker, who's not here, he's probably doing something basketball-related. He makes sure that those get posted every day on the Life in Christ Facebook page. So we're trying to get all of our little business here done, so if you go on Facebook and you look for me, you'll find these verses that we put from the epistles. And like I said, we're up to 2 Timothy in the epistles. But in our Wednesday night Bible classes, we actually are just going through each verse that we've talked about in our journey. And we're only in Romans chapter 8 in our Wednesday night Bible study. And so last week, we talked about Romans 8:32. And I want to read that verse, but I'm going to work backwards and talk about the entire chapter 8. I want to talk about some things in chapter 8, because if you can get the concepts that are in Romans chapter 8, it'll revolutionize your life. Now, that's provided that you know the Lord, that you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because the epistles, the books of Romans through Jude, correct, Chris? The epistles were written to Christians. They're not written to unbelievers. They're written to Christians to tell you what the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ means to you. We're gonna get into the Romans chapter 8 and go backwards from Romans 8:32. And one of the things we've talked about in the book of Romans, I got real disappointed in my Wednesday night Bible class group because they couldn't give me the key word that describes the book of Romans. But I will guarantee you that because of how bad I've made them feel, that they now could tell me that the key word to the book of Romans altogether is grace. If you didn't hear that, they all said grace. Not grace before meal, but actually the gospel of grace, because nobody is saved by works. Nobody's saved by keeping the law. You have to be saved by grace through faith. And for some of you guys that's listening, and again, I told everybody before we got here or before we went live with this, these kind of Bible lessons are geared more towards you guys because I want to minister to you. And just hearing what I just said has made it worth you tuning in on the radio on 92.3 FM. Or if some of y'all go on the internet and actually find our website, which is www.lifeinchristchurch.net, you click on sermons and you can hear these sermons. It's worth knowing that salvation is by grace through faith. Multitudes upon multitudes, billions of people don't know that. And that's why we're so excited and so thrilled to be able to do this. We're not discouraged. We're not disappointed. We're not giving up because God has given this wonderful thing called the internet and technology to allow us to tell people the good news, the gospel of grace. And that is you don't go to heaven because you've earned heaven. You go to heaven because God wanted you to be there by his grace, because he loves us because of his mercy. Can I get an amen from my Bible students? Amen. So Romans 8:32, and then I'm going to tell you a story that I saw on YouTube from a fellow Christian. And then I want to use that to tell you what's necessary to know in order to be able to live a successful Christian life. But Romans 8:32, we read it last week. It says, he who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That is an amazing verse of scripture. And it's Romans 8:32. So there were 31 verses before that verse. So one of the things that I do, I'm going to tell this story. One of the things that I do is we've pretty much in our house, we don't watch a whole lot of cable TV anymore. We usually use streaming services like Amazon Prime. We don't watch a whole lot of Netflix, but we have it. Hulu, HBO. Teresa's hooked on one of these shows called ER, and she watches it all the time. And just to be nice to her, I'll watch it with her. But one of the things that I do on YouTube, I go on YouTube TV, and I like going on YouTube TV because you can catch some of the news that went on without the commercials that they talk about on. And I listen mostly to Fox News because I believe that some of those other channels are far left channels that want to call everybody in America racist. And so I don't put a lot of attention to that. But anyway, I go on YouTube and I do that. And one of the other things that I've been doing is I've been clicking on a comedian, Christian comedian, not a dirty comedian, a Christian comedian. And if I said his name, I think a lot of you guys out there would know him, but I'm not going to say his name. I'm only going to tell you that he was a world famous comedian from Mississippi. So you probably can figure out why I like him, because I'm from that part of the country. I'm far more educated because I'm from Kentucky, but he was from Mississippi and he was a world famous comedian. But he's also a born-again Baptist man who loves Jesus. And I knew that about him. And really, if you want my personal opinion, I think he actually has the call to preach on him. I think God uses his comedy show as an opportunity for him to lead people to Jesus, because he has the call to preach. And so I'll click on his YouTube stuff. Most of the time, on this YouTube channel of his, or whenever he's on YouTube, it's like a 2-minute joke. And because of time, I won't tell you one of his clean 2-minute jokes, but if you text me or call me, I'll tell you one. But one night I clicked on his stuff and he was giving his testimony and he was talking about how he became a Christian, and it was really ministering to me. I hadn't been to church. It was Sunday night. I hadn't been to church and preached that morning and taught the Bible. And I'd been down at the golf course playing in the tournament, and just hearing him tell the message in ministering how he got saved was really speaking to me and ministering to me. So, because listen, I want everybody to hear this. I think it's important that I say this. I'm for anybody that preaches Jesus Christ. I'm for anybody that preaches that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. I don't care what your label is. I don't care if you've got some other doctrines that I may not agree with. I'm still for you, and I still consider you to be my brother or sister in the Lord. You know, if you're not sold out on Jesus, then I'm not going to say I'm completely on board with you. But I'm on board with anybody that's sold out on Jesus, and they may see some scripture verses differently than I see them. But this person is thoroughly saved and thoroughly knows the Lord Jesus Christ. So he began to give his testimony. And what he did, and this is a very famous saying in the Baptist church, and I'm not picking on Baptists. Anybody that listens to these radio programs knows I pick on everybody at some point, including our group. because, you know, Chris misbehaves all the time and I have to watch him. But, and then anyway, what he did is he shared his testimony, and this is a famous way to describe it in the Baptist church. He took everybody down what we call the Roman road. And that means that he introduced how he got saved through scriptures that ministers shared with him out of the book of Romans. Okay. Now I know I'm taking a long time with this, but James is going to make sure I know what time. I want to know when 30 minutes is, because I want to bring this to where I really want to get with it. So he's taking us down the Roman road to tell us his salvation story. And so, James, the title of this sermon or the title of this Bible lesson is Don't Get Stuck on the Roman Road. Don't get stuck on the Roman Road. So anyway, somebody in Mississippi, he's in a small town. Back in the day, I don't know, I was in these towns in the 70s, born in 59, grew up in the 60s and 70s. And back in these small towns, there was only a couple things you could do. That was either go to church or go to the pool hall or go to the honky tonk or go somewhere and eat fried chicken. And so in this little town in Mississippi, I don't even remember the name of it, somebody had finally invited him to go to church in this Baptist church. And they got him in church, and the minister preached to him and started out the sermon telling him Romans 3:23. And because we're on Zoom and you won't hear what people say, I'm going to do all the reading tonight and tell you the verse. So Romans 3:23 says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Very famous verse of scripture. Everybody here in this Bible class has heard it before. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
So he heard that and he said, now, wait a minute now. He said, wait just a minute. He said, you mean to tell me, he's telling me that I'm a sinner? And he began to compare himself with other people. And he thought to himself, there's other people that's worse than me. Everybody listening? It's very good stuff. So he's thinking, now, you know, he's telling me that all of us is sin, but he says, you know, I know that there's other people that's worse than me. See, he was making a mistake that everybody makes. Don't compare yourself with other people. Compare yourself with God. And when we all compare ourselves with God, listen to me, all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. God does not sin. God loves. God does not hate. God does not kill. God doesn't have bad thoughts. God is perfect, and we're not perfect. So we all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Thank God the Holy Spirit was in this Baptist church and ministered to his heart. And he began to think about it, and he began to reason it out. And he decided, you know, this guy's probably telling me the truth. I probably am falling short of the glory of God. So if you're listening by radio or internet this morning and you think that you don't need saving, the devil's lying to you. We all need saving. Every one of us need to be saved. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. Book of Romans, right? Got it? The other verse I just quoted was 1 Timothy chapter 1. Got it? So then he takes him to Romans 6:23. And Romans 6:23 says that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So he's already had the Holy Spirit show him he's a sinner. And now the Holy Spirit shows him that the punishment for being a sinner is death. The wages of sin is death. So the convicting power of the Holy Spirit's come on this world famous comedian. If I said his name, you'd all know him. So he said, man, I sure hope. And, you know, he's a humorous guy and he's a country guy. And he's being humorous as he tells his story. He says, man, I sure hope he tells me how to not to die, because he's figured out he's a sinner and he's figured out that the wages of sin is death. Got it? Well, thank God the Baptist minister knew what to tell him. He took him from Romans 3, Romans 6 to Romans 10. And Romans 10 verse 9 says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Saved from what? Saved from the law of sin and death. Saved from yourself. So the minister shared that verse with this man, offered the man the invitation to come down and do this, do what this verse said. And he came down to the aisle, confessed with his mouth the Lord Jesus, believed in his heart that God raised him from the dead. And guess what happened to him? He was gloriously saved. And he knew he was saved. He knew he was saved. And by the way, all this is going to be in the book of Romans when we read it here in a few minutes. All in the book of Romans chapter 8, it's going to kind of be in there. You got to dig it out, but it's in there. He becomes a born-again Baptist. He's a regular church member. He's pro-church. He's pro-preacher. He's pro-tithes. He's pro-everything to do with church. Okay? He starts telling people the things to be aware of after you become a Christian. And so far, I'm fired up. This guy's got me fired up. I loved hearing this salvation message. All of us in this room that are saved, does it ever get old to hear that? No. Is it wonderful to know it? Yes. Amen. He starts telling people the things that he wanted to warn them about as far as Christianity. The first thing he warned them about, and this kind of convicted me, the one thing he's talked about that really began to minister to me was don't be a nitpicker. Don't be a nitpicker. And what he meant by that is that, and Chris is laughing about that. And I've been a Bible teacher and a pastor and a jack of all trades in this stuff for quite a few years. So I know what nitpicking's all about. I've been a nitpicker and I've been nitpicked. Can I get an amen? His point on that was some people are going to go to church and they're going to get upset because the preacher might have wore a yellow shirt that day. That's nitpicking, right? Or you went to church that day and in Mississippi, it can get to be 105 degrees with humidity and you're sweating like whatever. And the air conditioner may not be working better. And you walk out of there and you shake the preacher's hand. You said, can y'all fix that air conditioner? You want me to come to church? That's a nitpicker. So that kind of convicted me because we got too many nitpickers in the body of Christ. We want everybody to be perfect. We want everything to be so-so. We don't think anybody should ever make a mistake. People have held me to that kind of standard for most of my career. And I have to admit, sometimes I've done that. And so I really appreciate that. So I'm going to do my best to quit being a nitpicker. Okay. And then I'm going to ask all you Christians that are listening by radio and internet, because some of you do, you don't want to tell anybody, but you still listen to Mark Browning. Some of you do. And I want you to quit nitpicking and just find some common ground that we can all agree with. And the common ground we can all agree with is we're all sinners. The wages of sin is death, but the grace of God and through faith in the grace of God in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ will allow us to escape death and be gloriously saved. Can we all agree with that? Amen. All right. And then this other thing he talked about absolutely thrilled me because so few people talk about it. The other thing he talked about was don't ever underestimate the power of the devil. And that was so refreshing to me because one of the things that I think, and I'm gonna nitpick here real quick. I'm gonna backslide and nitpick. But one of the things that I think is so lacking among the ministry is we don't tell people enough about how rotten and dangerous the devil is. Not that he's got more power than God, but he is the God of this world. He's the prince of the power of the air, and he controls the natural world we live in. Can I get an amen from my Bible students?
Amen.
And people that don't agree with that, don't come listen to Mark Browning. Isn't that true, guys? People that don't agree with that, don't come listen to me, but you'll just have to get over it and turn off the radio, because that's the truth. The devil's controlling the natural world. One of the things I was going to start out with in 2 Timothy, I'm going to get to it the next day, because tomorrow is when I put chapter 2 in. But 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. They're not coming from God, dear friends. They're coming because the devil knows his time is short. Okay? And so he went through there and told people, don't underestimate the power of the devil. Be on the lookout for him. Be careful. You know, don't get caught up in the devil is so subtle. He won't come at you all at once. He won't ask you to do something majorly wrong all at once. He'll build up to it. And so I was so thrilled by that. And then after all that glorious preaching, he lost me. All that glorious preaching. Now, by the way, everybody hearing me very carefully, do I love this man, that told this stuff? Is this man a believer? Are me and him going to be in heaven together? But after he told all those wonderful things, the next thing he talked about was that, and by the way, some of this, listen to this very carefully, because what's going to be said here is so important. Actually, what he starts out saying, I agree with. So I want to say it. What he starts out saying after this, I absolutely agree with. He said this: don't give up on God when something bad happens in your life. Now, I absolutely agree with that 100%. I'm absolutely on board with that. But I had a feeling. I had a feeling he was going to go a little bit of go a little directional way that I wasn't going to approve of, but I understood what he was saying. So many people are on fire for God as long as everything's going good, right? But, you know, nobody could predict this COVID-19 pandemic that was blown way out of proportion. It was a bad thing, and there were some bad things happened to some people, but nobody could predict it. And some people actually have gotten all frazzled and turned away from God because of it. Don't give up on God because of some bad thing that happens in your life. But here's the story he told. And this is where I'm going to bring in Romans chapter 8 and try my best to counter some of the thought processes he had relative to a bad thing happening. Because, folks, as long as we're in this world, bad things are going to happen. Can I get an amen? I just read to you that perilous times are coming in the last days. We're in perilous times. Some of the stuff that they're trying to teach our children in school, I hear people, not just me, I hear people all around me say, we never thought we'd ever have to address people trying to teach our children at 5 and 6 and 7 years of age, whether or not they are supposed to be a man or a woman. Man, I knew I was a boy when I was born, and I still know I'm a boy. Can I get an amen? Now, Teresa wishes I was a man, but I'm getting there. Are you listening to me? You follow me? I mean, I'm using that for an illustration because I'm telling you, there's so many, I can't tell you how many people have come to me and said, Mark, I never thought I'd ever have to deal with this. And the other thing is, I never thought we would have to defend ourselves for defending people not doing it. Can I get an amen? So all my life, I've been around for 63 years in June. There's been wars. There's been tornadoes. There's been earthquakes. There's been famine. Things like that go on. And the part that he said that I totally agree with is, don't give up on God when a bad thing happens, because this life is not the final life. We're sojourners and pilgrims in this life, in this world. Are you with me? But the story that he told to back up his point was that he got a phone call in the middle of the night, and his teenage son, along with three other boys, were in a car wreck. And his teenage son and another boy were in the back seat, and the other two boys were in the front seat. And usually it's the front seat people that get hurt. But in this case, his son and the other boy in the back seat were hurt, and his son was unconscious, and they didn't know if he'd wake back up. Now, everybody listening to me? That's a bad thing. That's stuff that can happen in the natural world we live in, right? Automobile mistakes, and it didn't appear there was any alcohol involved or anything like that. They were just in a car wreck and got hurt. And his boy was not waking up, and they didn't know if he would wake up. And so they called him and said, come on down to the hospital. The problem that I had, and the reason why I know that God wants me to keep teaching and preaching, was because in his mind, because he went down the Roman road, but he's gotten stuck on the Roman road. Don't get stuck on the Roman road. get set free on the Roman road. In his mind, he thought that somehow or another God had devised this for some purpose that God might have, and he was going to praise God no matter the outcome. Now, listen, part of that is really good. Everybody follow me? Part of that is good in that he was going to stay committed to the Lord no matter what. The problem with it is this. God doesn't want to kill people in car accidents. See? And the problem is ministers of the gospel have gotten stuck on just teaching people how to get to heaven. We haven't taught people how to live in this life and overcome the potholes and the obstacles and the detours that we'll discover on the road of life. Can I get an amen? Now, just so you know, and just so you'll understand that I'm not being a hypocrite, I just recently lost a niece to a car accident. It's my second niece that's been killed in our family. So I don't want anybody to think that I can't relate to that. But I just so you know, if I got a phone call like that, I would be concerned. I wouldn't give up on God. But I would never for one moment think that God caused it or that God was somehow going to use that to bring people to Jesus. God brings people to Jesus by letting people know that he hung his only begotten son on a cross and that whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. And that's the part of the gospel message that I don't believe is being presented enough. And that's the reason why most Christians are living in defeat, because all we've discovered is salvation. And there's more to salvation. There's more. There's a way to live in victory in this life. There is not a way. Listen to me, and I'm going to read it in Romans chapter 8. There's not a way to avoid persecution. There's not a way to avoid tribulation. There's not a way to avoid some of the things that's going to be talked about. How you understand those things will determine how you deal with those things. Now, on some level, he dealt with it properly in that he wasn't going to turn his back on God, even if his son died. But what he really needed to do was, in the name of Jesus, command his son to come back to life, or to understand that God, Father, you don't want to kill my son. Jesus told the apostles in Luke chapter 9, when they wanted to call fire from heaven like Elijah did because the Samaritan people rejected them, Jesus turned around and rebuked them and said, listen, and listen to this very carefully, guys. Jesus turned around and rebuked them and said, the Son of Man didn't come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And there's just a remnant of people. I got some folk out here now that are amening me that have stayed in agreement with me on this and haven't nitpicked and left because, you know, I'm wearing a visor teaching tonight, you know. But there's such a larger percentage of people that get mad because we're telling them that God's not killing people in car wrecks. Can I get an amen out there from the crowd out there? There's hundreds in this living room right now. I can't be lying to you. It's less than 100. All right. So let's go to Romans 8 and let me explain it to you. Let me show it to you. Everybody tracking? Am I glad that man told his testimony?
Yes.
Am I glad he told everybody about Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9?
Yes.
But listen to how it works. This is how it works. And James flashed 30 minutes at me, so I got to talk fast. And I'm going to hit verses in Romans 8 and get us to get through it. Because if you can get, did I say this already? If you're going to be a serious Bible student, if you're going to really be epistle-lighted, you've got to know Romans 3, Romans 5, and Romans 8. You got to know it. So Romans 8:2 says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Everybody see that? The law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death. The wages of sin are death, but the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from that. Cool? Now, what he does in a couple of these verses on down through here is he uses the word carnally minded. That's hard to get understood, I think. I think it'll be more easily understood if you just think of it in natural terms. In other words, if you're going to be able to successfully avoid the potholes on the road of life, how many of you run into potholes? Man, they had one in Sierra Vista on the way to Fry's at the stoplight, and they finally filled it. They had a pothole. If your tire went in it, I don't know if you could drive out of it. If you're listening and you work for the city, fix those potholes.
Don't be a nitpicker.
I'm nitpicking the city. But how many of you know there's potholes in life? Huh? There's detours, right? You won't be able to navigate. Thank y'all. You won't be able to navigate the potholes of life as long as you look at everything naturally. Let's go back to this guy. And again, his son, I think recovered. I didn't finish the testimony because Teresa came in and we did something else, but I didn't get to finish his testimony, but I think his son did recover. But see, he doesn't realize it, but he was thinking natural. See, he looked at that car wreck and looked at it naturally and began to try to make something natural spiritual. And see, stealing, killing, and destroying is not something God does. But you won't be able to overcome those things as long as you look at it naturally and start thinking in your mind, well, maybe God has a purpose. No, God doesn't have a purpose in stealing, killing, and destroying. Jesus came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Now, what I'm going to read to you is very few people have achieved it, but it's just because we don't achieve it don't mean you don't tell it, right? You know, we're getting ready to go to Kentucky for 2 weeks, and we're going to go fishing at Rough River. And they tell me that there's catfish in there that weigh 40 or 50 pounds. Now, just because I may not catch one don't mean that catfish is not in there. Are you listening to me? So I'm going to tell how it works, and whether any of us ever achieve it, that's on us. Because what he says here is, he says, verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, or to be naturally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. See, the devil's trying to get us to think naturally instead of thinking spiritually, instead of thinking the way God thinks. God doesn't think death. God doesn't think sickness. God doesn't think poverty. God doesn't think fear. God doesn't think depression. God thinks love and joy and peace and righteousness. Amen? But if you're naturally minded, it's death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Now listen, verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. Forget about that word carnal. Substitute the word natural. So the natural mind is enmity against God. See, that's the reason why Jesus had to die for sinners. And that's the reason nobody else could die, because all of us have a natural mind that's in enmity with God. We think things that God doesn't think. Do you know God thinks the best of every person? And it's hard for me to think the best of anybody. Don't shout me down now, right? In my natural mind, whenever you see something or hear something, the first thing you do in your natural mind is think the worst. Am I right? Come on, I can't be the only honest person.
Sorry, could you say that again?
And that's, sorry. I even got my phone talking.
What you said.
All right, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit, if indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the spirit of Christ, he is not his. Y'all see that? Listen, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness, right standing. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, that's believers, that's us, that's those of us that went down the Roman road. Did you go down the Roman road? We're not going to get stuck on it though, are we? But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. There's a place in God where your body can live victoriously without sickness and disease, without pain, but it only comes when you think in the spirit and not in the natural. And I'm proposing to you that we've gotten people saved on the Roman road, but we haven't got them completely set free on the Roman road because we haven't told them all of the rest of the book of Romans. Can I get an amen? Amen. And the other thing is, not only are the epistles the book of Romans, but they go Romans through Jude, and there's some other things in the rest of the epistles that'll supplement what you need to know in order to live spiritually. Verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, not to the natural, to live according to the flesh. Now watch this, and I'm going to say this to you, and I'm telling you, people don't understand this, but I'm telling you it's true. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Listen, he wrote this to believers. He's not talking about dying spiritually. Your spirit's already been made alive. He's talking about if you live according to the flesh, listen to me very carefully, you will die prematurely. I'm telling you, Christians die prematurely because we don't understand what we have in the spirit world. We don't understand that the spirit of him who raised Christ from the dead dwells in our mortal body. Y'all see that? How come y'all not shouting about it? Huh? Amen. Amen. All right. See that? Listen, I'm going to keep reading. Y'all see that? It's talking about it's this. And so when you get news like that guy got about his son, you don't say, well, God, you know, if you want to take him, see, it's all that false sovereignty doctrine that God's doing all this stuff. It's all, he's got the whole world in his hand. It's all that misconception about God. And so he'd got it in his head because he'd been down the Roman road, but he got stuck on it. And he'd got it in his head that somehow or another God was responsible for his son being in a car wreck. No, and I'm just using that for an illustration. God's not responsible for you being diagnosed with cancer or blood disease or tuberculosis, or, you know, that you're overcome with depression. God's not responsible for that. There's no plan or purpose he has in that. He's sent Jesus so we can live from our spirit. Listen very carefully. And what I'm telling you now, what I'm telling you has brought me tribulation and persecution for as long as I've been preaching, but it's still the truth. And I don't walk in at 100%. But just because I don't walk in at 100% don't mean I'm not going to tell it 100%. I'm telling you that the reason why we're not overcoming a majority of these things in our lives is we're not living from our spirit. We're living from our natural minds, and we're trying to think about things naturally instead of looking at things the way God looks at them. Can I get an amen? Now watch this. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. Verse 13. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now here's where people get hung up. Can we just be completely honest about it? See, it's not just up to God. See, the sovereignty of God wants to leave it all up to God. Whatever will be. Que sera, sera. Whatever will be. But this says, but if by the Spirit you, everybody say you. You put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. See, people don't want to hear. I had a lady back in the day. I mean, some sermons I preach once or twice every 2 or 3 years about different things. And back in the day, I preached about obesity and how obesity is the number one health problem in America. And I'm telling you, this lady met me at the end of the service and absolutely just blistered me with criticism and said, how dare you talk about fat people like that? And I thought, man, you're missing the whole point. I'm not bringing this stuff up to judge anybody. I'm bringing this up to help people. Amen. I mean, it's a pothole. Y'all know that? The abuse of alcohol is a pothole. The abuse of nicotine is a pothole. The abuse of pornography is a pothole. And these are, if you can avoid potholes, you will have a better quality of life. Now you're telling me we can't tell that in church anymore? Have we become woke? Verse 14, For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. Oh, here it is, verse 15 and 16. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. Everybody say that with me out loud. Everybody in here say it with me. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Now listen to this. I want to read the whole thing. I want everybody to get this. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God. Oh, this is unbelievable right here. I mean, it's absolutely unbelievable. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Now listen to this. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now, I want to talk to you about that. I don't want to avoid that. I don't want to preach a false gospel. I don't want to preach just a feel-good sermon. I want you to know. It says, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Now, because of time, we're going to go down here and pick up what the suffering is. And I want to point it out to you, and I want to tell you what it is, and I want to also tell you what it is not. You cool with me? Now, there was a time in my life, he flashed 45 minutes at me, so I got a good 10 minutes to get this closed up. I'm going to tell you there was a time in my life where I got off center, and I didn't preach enough about the suffering. And I think one of the things that happened to me out of this COVID-19 thing was it caused me to study my Bible a little closer. And the Lord actually told me this was one area that was lacking in some of the stuff I was presenting to people. Now, because life is not going to be always going to be easy and a piece of cake. Everybody hear me on that? But we have to identify what the suffering is. And we have to let the body of Christ know what you don't have to suffer with. You don't have to suffer with sickness and disease. You don't have to suffer with depression. You don't have to suffer with anxiety. God set you free from that. Jesus became a curse so we could be set free from those things. Amen? That's not the suffering he's talking about. You know what the suffering is he's talking about? Can I bring it home with you? The suffering that he's talking about is living in the natural world as a spirit-filled believer. And as long as you're in this natural world, some of the things that go on in the natural world, you're going to have to partake in because there's a price that the natural world has to pay for submitting to sin. Now, it doesn't mean that you're paying for the sin, but it means because you're in the world, you have to deal with some of the things that's going on in the world. Everybody with me? Everybody tracking with me? Okay. You see that? Now, so he tells you clearly what these things are. Let's pick it up in verse. Now does everybody understand? Let's pick it up in verse 31. Verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Now verse 32 makes a whole lot more sense, don't it? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Listen, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Man, that's good news. That's what a spiritual person thinks. That's what a spiritual person focuses on. Now listen, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now he tells us the things, the suffering that we have to deal with. Here it is. Ready? Here it is. Shall tribulation? Can we get out of tribulation? Not as long as you're in this world. Now, as long as you're in this world, distress. Are we going to have to deal with distress? Are these distressing times? Suicides are in an epidemic. I got to take this watch off. There's an epidemic of suicides in our country because people are distressed. They don't know how to deal with it. Our young people don't know how to deal with things. But we do. We've got the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead on the inside of us. When we get information about tribulation and about distress and distressing information and tribulation information, we don't blame God or think God's a part of it. We figure out what we need to do in the spiritual arena, either to overcome it, listen to me very carefully, or to live through it. Because some things you can't overcome if it involves another person, and because that other person has a free will. Are you listening to me? See, I can always deal with me, but I can't always deal with the other fella. I don't know what the other fella's doing. I don't know what he's thinking. I don't know where he's at. But I can determine how I'm going to deal with whatever comes. And on some level, that's what that preacher was saying, or comedian preacher was saying, that he's not going to quit on God because something bad happens. Where he made his fundamental mistake, though, was he tried to include God in the distress. Notice in this verse, in these verses in Romans, none of this is coming from God. Can I get amens from everybody? Amen. How come we're the only ones that know this? Because we're epistle-lighted. We've read the epistles. See? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? No. Shall distress? No. Shall persecution? No. Famine? See? In our day, it would be like what's going on in our economy. The stock market's bad. Gas prices are high. Baby formula is not on the shelves. That's the same kind of thing. Is that our fault? Is that God's fault? But can we overcome it? Yes, if we stay spiritually minded and not carnally minded. Famine or nakedness or peril or sword. See, the Lord, one of the Lord's favorite people, who was with him on the Mount of Transfiguration, one of his favorite people, James, the brother of John the Apostle, was beheaded by Herod in Acts chapter 12. God didn't want James beheaded. He didn't want him beheaded, but and when that happened, if you'll read the rest of the chapter, you'll find out that the church went into prayer for Peter because he was under arrest too. And he probably would have killed him, but they interceded and got to praying and exercising their spiritual authority, and God supernaturally got Peter out of jail. See, you have to understand, God can only react to what we react to. See, people are they're so misinformed. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed. And see, it's our attitude that determines how we overcome it. And I, again, I'm not living this 100%. I'm telling you, I'm not living this 100%, but I'm still going to tell it 100%. It's the best. It's God's best. Amen?
Amen.
It's God's best. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Those are the things we're going to have to suffer with as long as we're on this earth. Did it mention sickness and disease? Everybody say no.
No.
Did it mention depression?
No.
Did it mention poverty in your own individual life? Absolutely not. Because Jesus redeemed us from those, but we live in a natural world. You listening to me? You listening to me? Verse 37, James, how much time I got? Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Listen to me now. Some of y'all tuned in to 92.3 this morning thinking you're going to listen to, man, every time I do this, I always go blank on the country music people, but Keith Urban, who's somebody else out there, Ceci?
Ryan.
Who?
Luke Ryan.
Somebody else, isn't it?
George Strait,
all his exes live in Texas. Chris Stapleton, but you've tuned to the radio. And you've heard me teach you this morning about the Lord Jesus Christ and about God and about the Word. And so we'd be remiss if we didn't offer an invitation for you to act on and get saved through the Roman road and don't get stuck on the Roman road. Get victorious on the Roman road. So if you've been listening today by radio or internet and you've never received Jesus as Lord and Savior, say this prayer with me. Say, dear God, I've heard the minister this morning. And I've heard the good news.
I've heard that Jesus
died for my sins.
And rose from the dead.
For my justification.
I confess him right now.
As Lord.
Because I believe.
That you.
Raised him.
From the dead.
On the authority of your word.
I confess now.
I am a Christian.
I am a believer. Now, Holy Spirit, the book of Romans tells us that your spirit will bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And so everybody that prayed that prayer sincerely from their heart and meant it, I thank you that the witness of the Holy Spirit is confirming to them that they're now children of God. Oh, I want you to get your hands on a Bible. I want you to read the Gospel of John first. I want you to read it through maybe two times, get familiar with Jesus. And then I want you to read from Acts to Jude all the way through and start marking up these passages that tell you what Jesus did for you. Thank you for this opportunity to be able to share these things with you. We'd love to hear back from you. We'd like to know that you heard it. But even if we never hear back, we know that the Word of God never returns void, and there are people that have receive the benefit of it. It's in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus we pray, and everybody said,
Amen.